If you are hearing this message, then it means that you have actually missed this episode for about 3 or 4 days by now, because all through March, we are doing these episodes live on YouTube. We're doing them in the week, so our regular releases will be on Sunday for Spotify, for Apple Podcasts, but we are doing the episodes live on YouTube every week. We're not going to tell you when, so you've got to be subscribed to the channel with your notifications on, and you can actually join in the conversation. You can help to steer the conversation in the comments, in the chat, and actually just be part of what we're doing every week, because we love it when we hear you guys want to be part of the conversation. So every week in March, we're giving you the opportunity to do that. Come and join us.
If you are looking for that 10x secret sauce, right? The thing that a lot of people might just be missing, then this is the episode for you. Welcome to another episode of the Reason to Behold podcast with Tolu Talks.
And Arnold Reasons. I love those little bits you do at the beginning now. Just for the lives.
We've got to change just, it up. Just for the lives. We've been past 150 episodes, bro. And it might even change even for the audio listeners. They might get it more regularly now, bro.
Interesting. At first, I didn't know what you were doing, but I love it. I'm here for it. I'm here for it, bro.
But speaking about that 10x, though, bro, do you want to introduce today's conversation?
Yeah. So I saw a post on LinkedIn, as I often do, because LinkedIn is one of my favorite places. And it was basically someone who was a former president that was talking about what he looks for in people that he wanted on his staff. And basically what he said is, you just have to learn to get stuff done. And it resonated so much with me. And funnily enough, my wife and I were talking about this a little bit earlier, about when you're in situations where it looks like stuff isn't moving the way that it should be, it's always your responsibility to get stuff moving to the place that it should be. Because we were saying, you know, sometimes you don't know, like, do I have the place to do that? And I was just thinking, like, well, that's almost always your place. You know, like, who's going to turn you down because you're trying to help them get stuff done? And then I saw this video today and I was like, yeah, no, this is definitely something, because if at the highest level of government, that's what they're looking for, just people who will get stuff done. And that works whether you're at work or whether you're at home. Like, if you can just get stuff done, even if it's like, okay, I need to chip away at my cleaning. That's one thing that I'm working on. Chipping away at the cleaning, just get a little bit done. Just move this thing into the bin. Just wash this thing up instead of putting it in the dishwasher. Like, just do the stuff to get stuff done. It makes such a massive impact and it compounds in your life.
Bro, I feel like this is that. This really is. Do you know what? You don't even have to listen to the rest of the episode. Just want to take one quick PowerPoint takeaway.
Yeah.
Because you've already basically given, I think, the key. And I guess we'll unpack it throughout the rest of the conversation. But it's, do you know, it can seem so simple, but it's so true, right? Because it's such a basic concept, right? Add value. Solve problems.
You said one of my favorite things in the world, bro. Done. You said one of my favorite things in the world. Add value.
Yeah.
Bro.
Yeah. And I think, do you know what? It's like in any situation, right? Be it work, be it to do with like your relationship with your employer in the work setting, right? You're trying to go for a promotion. You're trying to get a pay rise. You're trying to do something that's going to move the needle for you and your family and your household. But it's like, before you can do that, this is where you now start practicing Christian principles. How can I move the needle for them?
Yes.
And then as a result,
yes,
justify what is due to me as a result, right? Yeah. And it's not because it's always guaranteed that it will work, because I've had situations where I've done that and they've not acted right. But by the power of God, they paid me later elsewhere, right?
Bro, pay me now or pay me later.
But then even in business.
Pay me now or pay
this
me later.
This is it. That's the principle. And we've run it for years.
Bro, but in, yeah, go on. There you go.
No, I was going to say, even in business, it's like, this entrepreneurial journey is something else, bro, because I've found that when I've been most selfish and focused on just how do I get paid, like, how do I fatten my pockets, right? It doesn't, I promise you, bro, it gets very little to no results. And I think on a bigger scale, it's not sustainable, because if your service or your product is not good enough and doesn't give the customer a good enough experience and doesn't add enough value or give them enough of a needle move in their world, then all that's going to happen is you might get away with the first sale to a few different customers, but those customers are never going to come back. They're going to talk bad about your business. They're going to leave bad reviews, and ultimately your business is going to suffer, right?
Bro, if you think about it this way, yeah, successful businesses get stuff done for other people. That's what they do. Whether you're a product or a service, this webcam that I bought, for example, it gets a job done for me and it does it well. Mm. My phone gets a job done for me and it does it well. That's why I pay for my stuff. So it's like business on a whole is getting stuff done for people in a way that they're willing to pay for it. Like all of this stuff is just getting stuff done. And to go back to your earlier point about, you know, by God's grace, you got what you were meant to get. It just reminds me of that verse in Colossians 3:23 that says about, you know, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as unto the Lord, or as you're working for the Lord, not unto humans. Because, bro, God is rich and God will reward you in ways that you can't even imagine. So, bro, it says God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek God. Like, God is a rewarder. So even when you think of the story with the talents, like, he expected them to get stuff done with what he gave them. Yeah. So it's like all of this is about getting stuff done.
It is, man. It is. And I think it, you know what? These are the kinds of things that expose how selfish we really are.
Oh,
because it's like, because I gave the example of like business, like, and me, the times when I've just tried to fat in my pockets. But even if you play out across the board, right? Mm. When it's just about me, when it's just about like what I'm trying to achieve, the benefit that I'm trying to get out of this, right? Everything else having to serve that.
Yeah.
It's like you end up finding yourself going in cycles of feeling frustrated and never ever feeling satisfied, right?
Yeah.
Because the desire is that you're going to get satisfied by, you know, having someone give you that pay rise or pay you whatever price it is for your service. But it's like, It all leads back to that same thing and the principles that Jesus taught about how greatness starts with service, right? As a principle. Mm. Like, being servant... Let me find the verse for you, because I think we quoted it in one of the other... in one of the other live streams we did. He who is greatest... It was when the disciples, I think, were disputing about who would be great. Must be servant. Quick Google.
Yeah.
Matthew 23:11, right?
Yeah. And I think that's such an important distinction, because I hadn't even thought about the fact that we need to clarify it's getting stuff done for other people. I hadn't even thought about that, because for me, like...
Absolutely. So Matthew 23, let me see if I pull back some of the verses. From verse 11.
Just getting it up as well. Yeah, I got it.
Did I misquote the story? So I'll go from verse 1. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat, so do..."
Are you reading?
"And observe whatever they tell you to." Matthew 23.
From where? 1?
I started at verse 1.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to around 11-ish, but I'm going to 1 for wider context. "Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, 'The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. So do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do. For they preach, but do not practice.'" Side note, how about that for a quick point, which probably tracks back to some of the stuff we were talking about in previous episodes, right?
Yeah.
The problem he had with them is that they preach but didn't practice. Mm. Hypocrisy, double standards, all of that. That's another conversation. "They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. They love the place of honor and feasts and the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces and being called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher and you are all brothers. And call no man your father on earth, for you have one father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted."
I think that's a different story.
It is, yeah, but it lines up. Do you want to check for the other verse? I'll try and find it as well. Disciples were disputing. Was it the same point?
Mark 10:37.
You got it there?
Yeah.
Okay, run it.
It says, then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came over and spoke to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do us a favor, mate. What is your request? We want you to do us a favor. Probably not exactly how they said it, but you know.
I was going to say, what's his message?
NLT. What is your request? He asked. They replied, when you sit on your glorious throne, we want to sit in places of honor next to you, one on your left and the other on your right. Jesus said to them, you don't know what you are asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering that I must be baptized with? Are you able to get the stuff done that I'm able to do? Oh yes, they replied, we are able. Then Jesus told them, you will indeed drink from my bitter cup and be baptized with my baptism of suffering. But I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. God has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen. When the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. So Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first amongst you must be the slave for everybody else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many.
Beautiful. Two witnesses. Two witnesses. Both examples point to the same thing.
Yeah.
Greatness starts with service and serving others. Right? Yeah. And isn't it interesting as well, like the idea of leadership, the leader as one who serves, right? Like service is the answer, bro.
Always.
Good service.
My well done, my good and faithful servant. Like there's something about service. Yeah, because I think that we often see servant in a negative way. You know, like some of the lower jobs in quote in our society are service jobs. Yeah. But service is really the highest calling. And I think it's so interesting that like in our society, some of the jobs that serve, like doctors, nurses, you know, those kind of, they get paid the least. And the people that aren't really actually serving us, like footballers, they get paid the most. It's it's a little bit backwards.
But you say that.
Yeah.
You say that though, but they... One could argue that they serve in a different way.
They serve like an entertainment.
Yeah.
Distraction, some might say, by the way.
Which is another conversation in itself.
Whole other conversation. Tell
that these are two people that don't watch football, right?
But do you know what, bro? Do you know what, though? I watch basketball, so I'm not guilt-free. Yeah? But there was something about, and I think it was like a Roman that said something about basically like distract the people with the sports. Let me find this thing just for people to understand sometimes where like we're coming from with some of this stuff.
Did I send you that thing on Insta?
Which thing?
I'm sure I sent it to you. Because that point you just made.
Yeah.
I'm so sure. I'm going to pull it up.
Maybe.
It was a video. I think it was an app. They were advertising an app. And basically, they were just sending for Instagram and socials.
I saw that. I saw that. Yeah, the app that basically shuts down. Is it Opal?
It might be. I can't remember what it was called. I just remember that when I saw it, I said, I was not the only one crying in the wilderness.
So, this is basically Opal, the thing. It's about the Roman circus. What does the emperor do when the people become restless and when the people are asking questions, when the people don't like the policies of the emperor? He sends them to the circus. He creates a circus, fills a giant coliseum, and begins to throw the Christians to the lions. And he has great chariot races and football games and basketball games, all to keep the idiots preoccupied with things that don't mean anything in the scheme of the entire world. So it's that thing of like, are you not entertained? Was like, you know, that is why we're here. Like, you're here to be entertained. Because when you're entertained, you're not being productive. When you're entertained, you're not growing. When you're entertained, you're not challenging. So it's like, we need to be real mindful of how much of that kind of stuff we are consuming, because it's there to entertain us and they are paying big money to keep us entertained.
Absolutely. Absolutely. How dark do we want to go, bro? Because I've got another layer to open up, bro.
Go. It's 9 o'clock past watershed. Go. Well, it's almost past watershed. Go. Go, bro.
Have you ever looked into some of the TikTok controversy?
Oh, you're going real there. Bro, you know we don't want war with China. Government, yeah? We don't want that smoke, yeah?
To live with Christ and to die is gain, bro.
Wow.
No, but I'm going to say, because some people might not be aware of it as well. But I've started doing some digging in and around it as well. Mm. And I do plan to put together some stuff on the subject. Mm. But what a lot of people don't know is that the origins of TikTok and the TikTok that happens, or the TikTok that exists in China versus, or whatever their comparable app is in China, versus what they put out in all of the other places like Western worlds, very different experience.
Is it?
So their internal experience,
yeah,
you're not going to get all of these people dancing and singing on the internet, shaking their back and all of that kind of stuff. It's educational. And the whole thing, when you start going down this rabbit trail, bro, you realize that everything that you just said about the whole distractions and all of that kind of stuff, it's like the type of level of potential warfare, I would go as far as to say that it seems like could be getting set up, is wild. Because the people who are being consumers on the platforms in the way, like, imagine this, right? Imagine if you fine-tuned your algorithms to dumb down all of the other people that are your potential opponents for the future, right? Yeah. Your future leaders, the people that are going to run these countries, the people that are going to be making the decisions when it does come to warfare, the people that are going to start to sway all sorts of influence over these lands and these countries, right? The so-called superpowers. But then your own country,
you're building them up,
is getting a completely different experience that's building them up and making them sharper and smarter. There's actually a limit, I think, if I remember correctly as well, on how long they're actually allowed to be on that too.
No way.
And if I remember correctly, it might be like 30 minutes a day or something crazy like that. Look into it. Look into it. It's all out there. But I'm saying all of that because, and this is, there's deeper levels to it as well, bro, because another thing is, from what I've come across so far, it is within Chinese law that they have the right to basically go into any company and basically
like season.
Tell them what to do.
They can basically
take control, tell them that they need to do X, Y, and Z. So for example, they could approach the founders of the owners of TikTok and be like, look, you need to change the algorithm in the West, and this is what you need to start serving them. There's an election that's going on in the next few months. We want you to make this particular political party look like they're stupid and the other one look like they're the one to go. Like, and the thing is, within the law that is around this whole thing, it also comes with secrecy.
Yeah.
Because
if
a company is ever compelled by their government, they're not allowed to say.
Yeah.
And so this is where all of the stuff that's come up about the people representing TikTok coming into all of these cross-examinations where people are concerned and saying that they have never had any interference with the Chinese government. But actually, it's like, if they did, they couldn't tell you anyway. Right?
Ooh.
So,
bro,
it's
mad.
There's layers and there's depth, right?
Mad.
And yet here we are,
just
here we are, scrolling through these platforms,
just
drinking whatever it serves us. Do you get what I'm saying? And it's like,
And bro, do you know what? Yeah, this isn't even a new game with the age of you know, new media. This has been for a long time. So my degree was international business mixed with media, culture and society, so like communications, and we studied some of the stuff around the media, the news, how all of these things exist to shape our culture. They have this thing called mise-en-scene, right, which is everything in the scene. So when you're watching a movie, everything there is a set. So even if you look at my background, most things there are there because I put them there. And if I don't want them in the shot, I'm not going to put them in the shot. So everything that you see when you're watching a movie is there to put something there, to send a message. So like, we don't think about these things enough. We just think, oh, it's just a movie set, but he's wearing that particular watch in that particular color because someone chose that. You know, like these are all the things that we just don't think about. Like you've got a plant in the background and normally you've got your little lion behind you, but I can't see it today. Why? I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. Like these things, our minds pick up on all of those things because, bro, every time we've done this, I've seen the lion in the background and right now I can't see it. I don't know if it's out of shot or what, but I can't see it. So my brain notices, okay, something is different, right?
Yeah,
but these things are really important, and I don't think we pay enough attention to what is happening.
Nah, for real, man. For real. And I think these are the kind of things that also feed into like some of the outcomes we really want.
Yeah.
Because in the same way we're talking about how important it is to serve in order to get some of the outcomes that we desire, like you've also actually got to be mindful of what's going on around you, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like, again, call me the anti-social media campaigner if you want, I don't care in it. But it's like, if you so choose to use social media platforms, which again, you're entirely free to do so at least with the awareness that there is a lot more going into this than you would probably think. Because I think that's the key thing, right? Whether you use it or not is not even the most like key factor to me. It's more, are you informed?
Yeah.
And informed enough to make decisions on how you want to use it and how you want it to serve you rather than you serve it? Because how about this, right? If I think you spoke about it in one of the previous streams, they are constantly going to serve you according to the pre-programmed algorithm and what they know is going to do what their intention is, i.e. to keep you on the app.
Have you seen the Netflix doc?
And that's why sometimes... Say again?
Have you seen the documentary?
Which one?
So there's a documentary, I don't remember the name, but they got people from Facebook, Google, all these different like big tech companies, like the FAANG companies that they call it. So that's Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, Google, I think. And they basically spoke to them about when they were building the algorithms. And the goal was always to keep people on as long as possible. And what we don't think about sometimes is that these apps are free because we're actually the product. Yeah. Like,
absolutely.
Instagram is selling your attention to advertisers. That's why it's free. Yeah. That's why it's free. They're selling you. And we're there, like, you know, the Matrix, where they're getting all their like. We are being farmed right now. Facts. They're selling our attention in a way that even worse than what they did on TV. Like, it's crazy. Mm. It's crazy. So we are the product.
Yeah. And there's so many things that go into it. Influence. Like, you will make decisions thinking that they're your own decisions, not knowing that the origins of that decision started a long time ago, right?
Yeah.
And this is where you can even start, like, again, if you're somebody that's more on the consumer side, you might not realize the power of advertising, right? One of the things that you can do, like, without going into it too much, one of the things you can do as a business, and a lot of businesses do, is they create the experience of omnipresence.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's not by accident that you went and visited that web page, you decided not to buy it, or you crossed off or whatever, then all of a sudden your timeline is constantly being filled with videos and all sorts of adverts. You go to your inbox, it's still got an advert there. Like, it's not coincidence.
They're sponsored emails.
And it's not
in
the hand
inbox.
Of God. It's not a sign from God that you need to buy. That is called absolutely aggressive marketing. And it's just the way that things are nowadays. But if you don't know that,
you'll just think,
you won't realize. And this is the crazy thing as well, like, as a believer, and I can understand it, you'll be there thinking, maybe God is saying that I should. You be thinking that that's the sheet you've put out and God is giving you a sign to go and buy.
That's
you get what I'm saying?
Pull out fleeces, man. Like, it's not meant to happen. It's not meant to happen. You know, in one of my old jobs as a guy, one of the things we were trying to figure out was to how to give people that seamless experience from knowing that they've watched an advert on TV to then serving them something on the web. Like, that was a project I worked on. Like, that's like, it's not a secret that people are doing these things. Like, that's like the holy grail. Mm. How can I get them on their TV, on their phone, on their web page? That's like the holy grail for advertisers. So it's like, we just need to realize. And bro, I saw in my emails, I had some sponsored emails in my inbox. I was like, yep, in my inbox. Come on, you're going to serve me ads in my inbox.
Dirty. It's dirty.
Disgusting.
It's dirty.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Not down. Anyway, my thing with all these things, yeah, is that they distract you, yeah, from actually being able to get stuff done. They distract you from the focus that you need to get stuff done. Because what I found is that it feels like there's so much more stuff to be done and it's going to take a really long time. But when you focus in, it doesn't actually take that long to get stuff done if you're focused. And I think that we are losing the power of focus. And when we think about the great inventors and the great creators of our time, they focused and they repeated things. You know, they tried different things, they iterated. That takes focus. I think we're really struggling with focus, and actually we're giving some of our iteration to computers. You know, computers can now iterate through stuff a million times quicker than we can. And it's just that thing of, okay, but how do we still be productive and how do we still get stuff done in this world that we live in where there's a lot of distraction, there's a lot of computers? Sometimes I'm like, do you know what? I'm not going to ask ChatGPT. I'm going to think about it myself and I'm actually going to try something myself. And if I fail and later ChatGPT tells me, cool. But I'm still going to try. Like, I think we really need to figure some of this stuff out.
And I think you just changed gears in the right direction because focus. Let's talk about focus. Because, like, even if you want to, like, connect that with some of the things that we're talking about, right? One of the first things that focus requires is intentionality. And some level of, with your intentionality, preparation. Because if you wake up in the morning and the first thing you do is pick up your phone and then go to something like an Instagram or a TikTok or whatever, right? Yep. Even a YouTube, right? For people like me that like YouTube especially. The first thing it's going to do is as soon as you open it, like it doesn't say to you, hi, how are you? And ask you, okay, what would you like to see? No, it will serve you opportunities to fill your time and distract you.
Yeah.
Right. But I think one of the key things you need to overcome that is starting with that intentionality, because when you know, or when you're aware at least, that you know, all right, there's an objective that I'm going for. Like, you have to make conscious decisions to say, okay, the first thing that I'm not going to do in the morning is open that app, right? Maybe I'll open it later. That's your prerogative, right? But if you're literally trying to zone in and focus, it starts with something as simple as that.
Yep.
Making a decision not to go to that, or not to go to the things which serve us with all of these distractions. Because what that does is it frees up your time and gives you the opportunity to actually sit, think, and start basically making productive steps towards your objectives and your goals.
Agreed. Because it is just taking control of your day, your destiny, whatever you want to call it. It is breaking the pattern of other people saying what I'm going to do first thing in the morning. And I think what's interesting about this is that, like, those things are attractive to us to do. You know, I want to see what's going on. I want to be entertained. I want to consume. Like, it's fun to eat food, it's fun to eat all this stuff, like binge watch Netflix, do all those stuff. And this is not to say I never do those things, because bro, I can binge watch with the absolute best of them. I have a little bit of an addiction. Like, bro, sometimes Carla's like, should we watch this? I'm like, that's a 30-part series. If I start
100%,
I'm going to need to finish that by 30 100%. Hours from now.
There's no open tabs. We got to get through this ASAP,
bro.
I'm the same. Like, and Nash will say the same thing about me. It's like, if we start a good series,
I need to finish.
It's like, all right, cool. We're out for the next few days or the next week, whatever. Let's just get through this.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Knock it out.
Yeah.
And then I can get back to my life. Do you get what I'm saying? Bro,
and bro, do you know what? Yeah. Part of it is because I think we're built to finish. Like, there aren't as many things that are satisfying as finishing something. And I don't just mean a series. I mean, like, you know, when you've been working on something and you get it finished, you get it over the line.
That feeling
is epic. Yeah. And God, bro, God is a finisher. God finishes stuff. I'm not saying he finishes Netflix series, but God finishes what he's got. Yeah. So, like, he's a finisher. And I think that there is something innate in us that loves to finish.
Yeah.
But we often don't have the discipline to finish on the good things. Like, I might have a goal to achieve a certain thing. And when you get to the end, that's the really hard part. That's the part you really need to push to finish. And I think that there's a reason
for it.
Because, bro, there is something in being a finisher. There is something glorious about being a finisher. But yeah, I just apply it to Netflix.
And I think, and you know what? It's funny as well, because even taking that principle as well of the that sweetness of when you finish something, what I don't think that we realize enough is that with, like you said, you apply it to Netflix, I've applied it to even YouTube series, all that kind of stuff as well. But what happens when you take that and you actually apply it to something that is a project or something that you're trying to work on for yourself, something that's a bit more productive than those things?
Yeah.
It's like the results, the opportunities, the things that can come out of that are massive. Because when you come to an end of, let's be honest here, when you come to the end of a series, right? Yeah, cool, you've got to the end of the series. Yeah. But I don't know about you, but for me, it's a bit anticlimactic because it's kind of like, it's done now. It's like, because I've got closure, I know the end of the story, but it's like, the thing that I'm left with lingering is, how does that affect my life now? Do you know what I'm saying?
Bro?
And it's like,
disappointment.
The best thing I get out of it is that, you know what?
Yeah.
It gave me an opportunity to veg my brain out, maybe have a little bit of a different part of my brain engaged for however long it takes to finish it. But when I compare that to some of the productive things, and don't get me wrong, by the way, like, I'm not 24/7 productive all days of the year. Like, I have seasons where I will choose to say, all right, cool, let me just watch a series. Let me kind of call off. Because I guess it kind of, like I said, it works a different part of the brain, right?
But bro,
is it the best thing? Is it the only thing?
What part of our brain does it work? Exactly. Like, because I think that
there's this scientific term, it's called the tickle center.
You mean your tickling ears? Is that what you mean? Is that what you mean by that?
Don't believe everything you hear on the internet.
Bro?
Because, but yeah, sorry, you're going to say something. Don't mind me.
I feel like there are different ways that we can be entertained, right? So, for example, when you go on a walk in nature, you get a break, a different part of your brain is firing. And bro, you're like, for me, when I'm out and about, you notice different things. It fires off different things in your brain. When I'm on that couch, bro, I'm just zoned in, I'm vegging out, and that's it. Like, bro, even when I go play basketball, that is where my brain switches off from thinking. And all I think about is just putting the ball in the hoop. You know, so it's like, I think that there are different ways that we, like, what did people do before TV for entertainment?
It's a good question, bro.
Like, what did they do?
It's a good question. And you know what? To be honest, like, one of the questions I was thinking as you were speaking is, Jesus, Paul, the disciples, if they were present in our day now, would they engage in these things?
Well, do you know what? Yeah, they were out and about. They were roaming. They were roaming. But maybe they would have watched it in the car on the way. I don't know.
I wonder.
Yeah.
Because I think, again, I can't give you a categorical answer because I don't know, innit, right? But I do genuinely wonder because I think what we do see, like you said, they were active. And I guess, and this is, I guess there's two sides to it. We see obviously what was documented, right? We don't see every single fiber of every single second of every single day. So I guess that's part of the limitation that we have. But even from what we do see,
they went about it. But you know as well, bro, though, is that if they were going from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, for example, that's not a 2-hour journey, 3-hour
journey. It's not a small journey.
No.
Yeah.
That's multiple days of walking somewhere, and they're stopping along places on the way.
So what were they doing on the way?
Bro, they were probably talking. Jesus was probably like, bro, if we were on a long car journey and we didn't have any devices or stuff, we would just talk or we would sleep or whatever. But you would have to engage with someone or something, or they'd be like reciting Bible verses. Because bro, remember, these people knew the whole Torah. Yeah. Like, some of these 13-year-olds knew the whole Torah back to front. So like, bro, they did, they just did different things. They did different things. And since when did watching TV become our go-to thing to relax? Why? And bro, even think about their food. Yeah, bro, I'm angry if I'm cooking for more than half an hour. Yeah? Bro, when these people are making bread from scratch, they're cooking a whole lamb. Yeah. Bro, you're cooking for hours. You didn't have time to do all this stuff. We've made time and then we fill it with entertainment.
Do you think we're over-efficient?
Ooh. I don't, over-efficient might not be the wrong word, might not be the right word. I think that we're misusing our efficiency.
Interesting. Why'd you say that?
Because I think that, is there anything wrong with the fact that food is much quicker to get and cook? No, I don't think so. I think we're misusing that opportunity to firstly, like, fill our food with rubbish so that it lasts longer. But secondly, we're freeing up that time, but we're not doing something productive with the time.
Productive.
So we're not overly efficient. We're not actually more efficient than we used to be. Stuff gets done quicker, but as humans, are we better than we used to be? No. Like, some of these people are way smarter than we are now.
Mm.
What are you thinking?
I hear it. I think so when I think about, like, for example, food, right?
Mm.
You don't have to own your own cows, goats, no. sheep, and all of that kind of stuff, right? And then slaughter them and then go through the process of plucking off all of the hairs and skin it and all of that kind of stuff, then cook it. Like, we don't have to do that because even before you move into, like, where we are today, you had people that then made that their focus. Some people were blacksmiths, some people were this, some people were that. You would then buy your stuff from so-and-so, they would do whatever they're going to do to make your life a bit easier, right? And you do the same in exchange. Now, we're obviously at a time where it's like most people wouldn't even think about the food that they're buying from the local supermarket as something that was ever once alive, right?
We're so far removed. Yeah.
So we're so far removed from it because of all of the processes, industrial revolution, like everything happening to streamline things and make things a lot more time efficient.
Mm.
But despite that, I agree with your point about the misuse of the time that's been created. Mm. Because, like, to be honest, even on the one hand, this is where we can go dark again a little bit on a different subject. Even with all of those efficiencies that have been created, one, this actually connects back with one of the things we started off talking about, right? Because that's actually a service to many people, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of us, to some degree, can arguably say that we benefit because we no longer have to go out and hunt and all of that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or even buying the live animals from other people, slaughtering them and going through that process ourselves. We don't have to do the processing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we just, if we want, we can cook it and eat it. Or we can go a step further and pay someone else who's going to even do that so that all we have to do is eat whatever they deliver to us, right?
Yeah.
But even within all of that, it's, this is where you can see wicked intent filtering even through something that maybe started off as a good a good idea.
1,000,000%. Because, bro, we're giving over control to someone else.
Absolutely. And that control is also being abused and misused.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The same way we're abusing and misusing the time that's been created, the control that has been handed over to the big companies and all of that kind of stuff. If you really want to go there, big pharma, right? Look it up for yourself. That control is being misused to the point where you have all of this highly genetically modified foods and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You have all of these hormones and stuff like that that are being pumped into all sorts of things that we consume in order to get us to buy a product that maybe looks, and it has the appearance of being like I watched a documentary maybe a few weeks back about chicken, bro. And put it like this, yeah, after what I saw, one of the tabs open in my mind right now is I just need to find somebody locally who has their own chickens. They raise their own chickens and they can be the supply. Yeah. I want to be a bit closer to the supply chain because it's like,
you don't know what's happening. Bro, I watched something.
You don't realize.
Where they said that crab sticks, you know, crab sticks? You know, crab sticks, the little white thing.
They're not crab.
And
no.
That strip that you think is the color of a crab is painted on. It's not crab. It's not crab.
Are you kidding me?
Zero crab. Zero. Yeah?
That is sick.
Disgusting. Bro, we want to get a homestead. Yeah. We want to buy our own land.
Yeah.
Yeah. Build all our stuff on there and just live.
I didn't know you about it.
Bro.
I knew you wanted to buy land. I didn't know you about the homestead life, bro.
Bro, this is the first time I would have publicly talked about it. But yes, we are about it. And you would love to bless us with some land. Yeah. You know where to find me, because I'll get that land and I'll turn it into something great. But bro, we are about it. We are about it. Mm. Yeah, because bro, some of this stuff is getting absolutely crazy. And you you have to take control. And bro, just like we said, you have to be intentional. You have to take control of your day. Yeah. These are some of the things that if you can, you have to start taking control of. Yeah, because bro, even like bread, bread causes a lot of problems for people now, but it's because the way that we are processing bread is a processed food now. Yeah, before it wasn't like that. Like, you could eat bread and it would actually be good for you. And how I knew that this was really bad, when I lived in America, I went home over Christmas and I left some bread in my house in America while I was at home. I was at home for like a month. Yeah, bro, back in the day, would bread ever have lasted a month? No. Three days,
bro.
Three days, and it's already started to go moldy, bro. I came back after a month. That bread was crisp, like when I left it, and I said, nah, that's not real bread.
Yeah, something's wrong here.
Something is
very wrong here,
bro. And now bread makers are sold out everywhere because people are starting to realize, I should just make my own bread. Like, I can't be trusting with this bread elsewhere, because bro, it's not real bread anymore. That's why we have gut problems. That's why we have tiredness, like even bro, inflammation and sickness. And even there's this, I don't know if you've seen this guy on Instagram called Eddie Abue, something like that.
Oh yeah.
Bro,
terrible
language, but what his voice is now ringing in my head on a regular basis. Like, eat real food. Eat real food. This is not real food. Like, yeah. So much of what we eat is not real food.
Yeah, man. Intentionality across the board, bro.
100%.
Because even now, right? Let's even talk about, we're talking about focus, right? Mm. Something that might not always be connected to the difficulties that we sometimes have with focus is food.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Sugar spikes, sugar dumps, right? The different effects different types of foods actually have on our ability to focus, our productivity. Mm. And it's interesting because obviously on this whole health and fitness journey, I've been paying a lot closer attention over these last few months on how different food affects my body and my productivity and all of that kind of stuff. And it's mad. Everything, it's like it all feeds into each other.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
No pun intended.
but bro, it does. It really does. And I think that we sometimes forget that, look, God created food for a reason. Like, in the garden from the beginning, he planted trees that would bear fruit. Like, there is a purpose of food in this world, and I think that we definitely abuse that purpose. So I think if we tie this all back in to where we started, I think that the ability to get stuff done is so important, and I think that we serve a God who empowers us to get stuff done, but he also expects us to get stuff done. He expects us to be fruitful. Absolutely. He doesn't expect us to just be vegging out and not doing. Like, that's why he gave us the Great Commission. You know, that's why he says things that, like, those who don't work don't eat. Like, God expects us to get stuff done. He says, you know, whatsoever you do shall prosper. So he's expecting us to do stuff.
To do.
You know, and there's this thing about, you know, we're not human doings, we're human beings. Yes, absolutely. But even within being, God expects us to do some stuff. Like, otherwise, what 100%. Are we here for? Just to be entertained. We could be entertained way better in heaven. Like, there is stuff that we need to be doing, we need to be building, we need to be owning as Christians, because bro, this world at the core of it, like, not all humans aren't good by definition. Like, by definition, we are sinful, we are selfish, we are greedy, and that's what we're seeing with some of this stuff with Big Pharma, with our energy companies, bro. Like, we are seeing greed coming through.
Bro, they'll get like a podcast series in itself, bro. What the energy companies have done over these last couple of years.
Mazza. Absolute madness, bro. And just watching it unfold, I'm like, how are they getting away with this? Like, anyway, for you, yeah. Because, bro, the thing is, yeah, sometimes when you think about all these things, it can be really, like, overwhelming of just how little impact it feels like, or control that it feels like we have. But I think that all you can focus on is getting the stuff done in your life that you're meant to get done. Like, get yourself in shape. Get your eating in some kind of, not 100% clean, but some kind of better balance for your body. You know, do the things that God has called you to do. Because, bro, everybody on this earth has a gifting. Everybody on earth has a talent, something that they're meant to do. Even the person with one talent, God still gave them a talent. You know, everybody has something. So go and do stuff with what God has given you. Like, don't waste it by being entertained all the time by Netflix. And this has come from someone who loves to watch a good series, mate. Love it. Yeah. So I'm not mad at you. I am you. Probably worse than you. So to be honest, I'm the worst sinner of them all in this area. Like, I will binge a good series, mate. But I'm learning how to be better at getting stuff done. And when I think about my corporate career, the reason I progress is because I can get stuff done. I will get stuff done for you, man. Simple. Simple.
No, for real, man.
Thank you for listening to the rants and musings of the Reason to Behold podcast today, because we went all over the place, mate. And hopefully
we did, man. We touched on Big Pharma.
Yep. China. So if we go quiet for a little bit, send a search party, please, because there's many people it could
be. No, for real, man.
Many people. So pray for us that God keeps us safe from all the people that we added today. And
for real. At least share this. Look, share this episode with somebody before it gets cut off. Right?
If our YouTube gets taken down, you know why. Yeah?
For real.
Well, I'm not going to say who it was. Anyway, before we incriminate further, go and get some stuff done is the long and short. Go get some stuff done. Go add some value. And go make other people's lives better. Go and serve. You know?
For real. And find the foxes, I think, is the other thing I would say. Find, the scripture speaks about how it's the little foxes that spoil the vine, right?
What, bro? Man is dropping bombs to finish. You just said find the foxes. Be mysterious.
Find the foxes. The scriptures say it's this little foxes that spoil the vine, right?
Yeah, agreed.
And so what I mean by that is find what the things are that are distracting you from being able to be intentional and actually start getting more stuff done, right? If you're somebody that's getting stuff done and the outcomes that you're getting are not aligned with what you're trying to achieve, look for the foxes. If you're someone that's getting nothing near the results that you're looking for, and it just seems like you're punching in the wind, they're not giving you that pay rise, they're not giving you that promotion, the customers just ain't buying, right? Look for the foxes, right? And remember, service is one of the most important things. Good service, not just, because this is the other thing as well, right? Like, this is where Colossians, what you quoted, and I know we're rounding up, but I'm going to quickly open this up
a little bit more.
The Colossians verse that you quoted is so important, because when you change your perspective to practicing what those verses speak about as working as unto God rather than as unto men, right? Be it in work, be it in business, rather than looking at your customers, rather than looking at your boss or the decision maker who holds your salary in their hands, right? Rather than looking at it as what you're doing for them. If you make God your customer, or God your boss, your employer, the decision maker, and you see it from that perspective, the results change.
Something that you said to me,
the results change,
that always stuck with me, is that even if you're an employee, you already have your business because you're selling your services to your employer. So my employer is my customer. And if I see God as my employer, I'm still seeing God as my customer. And it's all about making my customer happy. So that's something you said that always stuck with me. Even if you're an employee, you're selling a business, your services.
You're still in business, man. And it's the shift. It's the shift. That shift in perspective changes everything, man. And this is coming from two people that have been able to experience at least some level of fruit in practicing these things.
100%.
So take it if you want to try it and see what it gets you. If you think it's rubbish, throw it by the side.
100%.
Keep getting the results you're getting.
100%. Bro, I don't think you can ever go wrong being someone that executes and gets stuff done. You can't. You just can't.
Yeah.
You just can't. Even if you're working for wicked people, like that skill of getting stuff done will get you paid in other places. Yeah.
And that don't miss that. Don't miss what he just said. Even if you don't experience it from the place where you've actually sown your seeds, where you've got stuff done, where you've labored, even if they throw it back in your face, right? If you are trusting and believing that God is the one that supplies, he is your provider and all of those things, then rest assured, redemption is something that he is more than capable of. And again, he would... Yeah, man.
Because, bro, I was talking to one of my friends. And she works at a company that shall not be named. But she was having a hard time there. She was having a tough time there. And she decided to stick it through. Yeah. In that tough time, she has created a framework, that will now be sold into the Big Four. It's going to have her name on it.
Come on.
Yeah. She's going to be getting paid through that probably for the rest of her life, because this framework is legit. But it came from being in that place, still delivering value, still getting stuff done. Mm. And now she's built something that is going to have her name on it. Like, that company can't take it from her. They can't. Just stay the path.
No, for real, man. For real. And stay the path, man.
Stay the path.
What does trust? But...
Stay the path doesn't mean that you always have to stay there. Stay the path means keep delivering value and keep getting stuff
as unto God.
Yes. Just to be really clear.
Wherever you are.
Be really
clear. No, for real. Before someone ends up saying that I've been in this hellhole for like the last 10 years. No, don't do that.
No.
You don't have to do that.
Stay the
and
path.
And I think it's also being, I think, aware enough to know that when you deliver on one of the keys for me, this podcast isn't going to end, because I feel like there's, you know, when you just want to quickly just throw out as much as you can, because it's like, this is hopefully going to help somebody, right? Yes. But one of the keys for me when I've looked at my career has been realizing that you have the power to write your CV and no one can take that away from you, right? Because normally we think about your CV and your experience as something that you just literally just write down what happened, right? No. But it's like, one of the most powerful things that I had switched for me was when I was in that particular former employer, you remember the one, the scam artist, right? Big name, but big name, big promises, but didn't want to fulfill and pay me right?
Yep.
That one, I remember I was working my tail off, right?
Yeah.
And I remember after all of the promises they'd made about the pay rises that was going to happen, we finally get to the conversation where it's supposed to happen and they completely under-delivered. They didn't come big on their promises,
give a
right?
Give a percentage of what they actually gave you. Give a percentage.
Yeah, I can't even remember.
I think I'll be honest with you, bro. 10%, bro.
As in what they gave me?
Yeah.
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 And I'm sure it was meant to be like significantly, it's so long ago, but it was meant to be significantly more.
Bro, I remember
we were talking about like at least.
I remember, bro. I remember. I felt the pain, bro. I was like, "Huh?" I remember, bro.
It was disgusting.
Oh, despicable. It was disgusting. Despicable. It was disgusting.
But I remember, and this is the interesting thing, is that I remember with that pay rise came a technical. It was a promotion as well, right? And I remember I told them that I was going to think about it, because my thinking was, look, if I'm going to take on all of this extra responsibility and you're only going to give me these peanuts extra, like that's not a just scale. That's not balanced. That's not fair. No. Right. But after reflecting, praying, the decision I made was that I would take the promotion and I would take it at the pay that they said, but I was going to start writing my CV. Right. And what I did, and this is where I flipped it and I used it to my advantage. And this is why I say you can write your CV, because all of the execution, the over delivery that I had done prior to that promotion, that went straight on my CV. Yep. Then I started, I now took the new title, I put that on my CV.
Yep.
Then I started strategically thinking, all right, cool. Let me go and look at these job roles that I want to be applying elsewhere and look at what they're looking for, right? And I started to find different things. And I thought, all right, how can I create that experience whilst I'm now in this role?
Love it.
Right? Mm. And so you want to see the experience of, I don't know, being able to lead a team well, right?
Give me a team.
Cool. I've now got a team under me, right? So what can I practically do right now to show that I've been able to lead a team well, to show that I've been able to develop staff, to show that I've been able to progress people within my team? Like, how do I, and I literally, bro, I'm telling you, I literally did that. And I think it was over the space of what, 6 months, if that? I can't remember. My CV will tell the story, right? But after doing all of that, writing my story and starting to create all of the experience up front proactively, the next interview I was in, it was a very different so conversation.
How much did you increase your salary by percentage wise by leaving?
T.
No, because bro, it's important for people to know these things. It's important for people to know.
So let's say, yeah, if they was, if it was 10% that they gave me and it was supposed to be 30%, I think we went up by 50%, and that was my starting.
That sounds about right from what I remember.
Yeah, it was about 50%, and that was just starting. And yeah, within 6 months, that went up as well, right? Yeah. And the rest is history.
Within a year, but it was big.
And I think the key point, and this is the interesting takeaway from that as well, is that imagine that all the first company had to do was like just sort me out, like. And let me have something to go home to my family with and say, you know what? All that hard work and graft, here's what I have to show for it, right? That's it. They didn't have to do much.
Basic.
But as a result of whatever they did or failed to do, and this is where God's faithfulness comes into it, because it's like working as unto God. If I was working as unto men, I could have stayed in. Because don't get me wrong, I was frustrated at the time and I was annoyed. Mm. But I also did genuinely have the belief and faith that God was able to redeem this one way or another. And that's where this whole pay me now or pay me later thing started, right? It was the principle that was just literally pay me now or pay me later. Pay me now or pay me later, right?
Don't matter.
And by God's grace,
we get paid later, bro. It's all right.
And more.
God is never late. Yeah, man.
So, yeah, man.
Yeah. I hear you.
So yeah, man, we can probably wrap up now. Hopefully that helps someone. Hopefully that helps someone.
Thank you guys for listening, and we will catch you on the next episode. Peace.
Peace.